This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Braj
and Christine Wong.
What day is it today?
Thursday.
Is it? And what date is it today?
The 23rd of July.
I was going to say, who knows anymore?
Which means tomorrow is Friday, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yay! Sorry, I just wanted to do that.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Because Friday, I just fancied doing it.
It is reason for celebration.
I think any day before Friday and Friday, yeah, is the day for celebration.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just mumbling now. You know that, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, what we are talking about today, something really important, about what we can do to utilize unused office space and how can we utilize it better. We all know here in KL and elsewhere that there are buildings right now that are sat half empty. Mm-hmm. Even before the pandemic, of course, there were a whole bunch of buildings that were half empty because developers had decided that buildings needed to go up in those places and we needed offices in those places. And of course, nobody needed offices in those places.
Millennials decided that they didn't need offices or places to stay. They
Correct.
Went like, yeah, we don't
want
to buy.
Yeah, we don't want that. And then, of course, during the pandemic, we realized that many of us don't actually even need to go into an office to do the work that we can do, right? And so we picked up a story. Chris picked up a story today, which she'll be talking about. It's all from Fast Company.
It is. So it is about how world leaders are looking at repurposing office buildings for housing crisis.
Which led us to the question, again, of what are the ways we could utilize unused office building space better? We have a poll running on Twitter. You can get us on Instagram if you want to comment there. And, of course, on WhatsApp, 01878 9889. The choices over on Twitter are
housing, then there's child or elderly care, then there's medical purposes, and others are all of the above.
And currently, of course, at the percentage is at 49.7% of all of the above, which makes sense. You know, we can use them for all of those little purposes. If you have other suggestions, though, of what you think might be useful to be used in these buildings and these offices in particular, what can we do? Let us know. You know the numbers. So that's the story we're running with. We're then going to be following up with another story which kind of reinforces that about how over in the US, corporate America are downsizing their real estate footprint as companies allow more employees to work from home, of course, which is a growing threat to the bottom line of owners of traditional office buildings and a sign that companies are looking for ways to cut costs as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. And then whilst you're staying at home, working from home, and when you finish and you sidle over to that sofa and you plonk your bottom down and you push that button with Netflix on, this is what they're saying.
Yeah, you're definitely not using it in the background or anything.
Like
no one plays.
No.
Yeah, no. It's about how Netflix has sort of said that this is going to be their decade.
I think that kind of has been very much cemented over the past few weeks and months, hasn't it? Right, Chris, kick us off.
Right. So in the US, Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson told Fox Business in late June that virtually all the major cities in the US have significant spaces that can be used and that they're encouraging city officials, in their planning to begin to take that into consideration. Then a week later, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced Project Speed. This plan, expected to come into force in September, involves reforming the planning and zoning process, which would allow most commercial spaces to convert to residential uses without a planning application. So it's clear that, you know, especially as you mentioned with COVID-19, but also even before that, with commercial spaces sort of being emptied or abandoned, world leaders are starting to see these as opportunities to maybe resolve the housing crisis. However, these kinds of conversions are easier said than done. This is according to Sheila Botting, who is president for the Americas at the commercial real estate company Avison Young. She says only about 10 to 20% of office buildings in the US have a small enough footprint and plumbing, in the right places that they can feasibly be turned into housing. So most of these spaces, because of the density, math, and financial feasibility, would be better used by leveling them to the ground and then starting over again with a specific design. Beyond physical limitations, there are also zoning challenges to deal with, according to Danielle Lewinsky, Vice President and Director of Michigan Initiatives for the Center of Community Progress, which is a nonprofit focused on vacant property in cities in the U.S. And she says by only allowing a single type of use, such as office space or retail, zoning automatically precludes conversion to housing or even to mixed-use development that could meet a wider set of needs. And in many areas, office buildings are only zoned to be office buildings. So that's you know, a problem. Mm. And much of the adaptive reuse happening currently is targeted at projects that can spur economic development, such as converting shopping malls into housing and office complexes, or adapting big box retail to accommodate housing and healthcare facilities for seniors. So this works because often the lower density of these structures and the built-in accessibility of elevators and escalators makes them more attractive to developers trying to tap the senior market. Mm. And they're also more adaptable to the live-work-play mix of uses that can pump more money into the local economy. And in the UK, with a lot of the high streets especially, many of the commercial centres in these smaller towns were simply built for the pre-internet era and were not ready to see so much commerce shift into the digital space. So that's another issue. These places also need longer-term economic and industrial strategies. You know, so that's another element that could be factored into. Now, if we're going to be, you know, converting office spaces or commercial spaces into residential spaces, cities need to figure out what problems to solve at the heart of it and also actively enable adaptive reuse projects to happen. That can mean easing zoning changes, Boris Johnson style, or offering grants to redevelop properties that have gone irreversibly vacant. And obviously, COVID-19 is likely to spark much more interest in these sorts of projects, particularly in suburban office complexes, but it's too early to tell if anything will actually come of it.
What do you think about this, Arv?
So I recently moved into a new place late last year, and when I was going around looking for spaces, because you go and hop different houses and see which ones are vacant and stuff, I was shocked to find out how many were actually empty and how many places were actually not used. Mm. And we speak about, like, you know, a property glut, and like there's a bubble and people don't want to buy and there's like an excess and, you know, there's all that kind of things. But only when you go to the ground and see these things, you realize how shockingly empty some buildings are.
Yeah.
And some of them are like, what do they call them? Like dual key. So you have like shop lots down below, and then you have like, you know, housing residences like up above.
Yeah.
And even then, the shop lots down below, the ones that they promote and go like, oh, you can just walk downstairs and there's a cafe or whatever, that cafe is closed.
Yeah.
Like no one's there. There's no tenant. So it makes sense that this kind of these things are happening, and also that there are ideas to sort of utilize buildings for other purposes instead of just opening them up for like residential mm-hmm. or offices. And you know, boxing yourself into a corner
mm.
and then losing out when people don't want to stay there.
Mm. I mean, we've spoken a bit. I think it was us three that spoke about it before, about, you know, the conversion of malls into mm. like some of these other users and making them mm-hmm. dual key or whatever it is, you know, and the idea of using malls to help house the elderly or mm. people that have... you know, learning disabilities or whatever, because it's that contained area.
Yeah.
You know, and everything is provided on site. You know, you have washrooms, you have escalators, you have people have issues getting up and downstairs and lifts and whatnot. But these are discussions that, you know, for people like us seems very reasonable to have, and it seems like an ideal solution. Yet we are not these property developers who have expectations of people renting out spaces and getting large amount of return because people are going in there and spending money on retail mm. and therefore you can charge an awful lot more, right? Whereas if you are expecting elderly people or schools or perhaps, you know, hospitals or whatever to move into these spaces, they don't have that money, that kind of income to kind of support that cost. So it's I think a lot of this kind of movement and development has to lie with the developers and what they are willing mm. to do, and because clearly they're going to incur some massive losses.
Yeah, but I think it would also be naive to ignore the fact that a lot of companies are starting to work remotely and are starting to be fully distributed, and that is going to lead not maybe to the eradication of the utility of office buildings, but, you know, a definite reduction in that space being used.
And smaller offices.
And we just need to figure out a way to not waste this space.
Absolutely. I mean, as we said earlier on in the earlier talks, that you just look around at this building's beautiful,
mm.
but there are many, many, many offices that are empty, you know, and they could be used and repurposed for something else if the rental charges were not as high as they are,
mm-hmm.
you know? Content creators, for example, could come in and use this space if they were of a reasonable price or something along those lines, because they're ideal. There's huge amounts of daylight. There's mm-hmm. ample space. Mm-hmm. It would be ideal.
Yeah. Yep.
There you go. Time for us to take a short break. question that we're asking, what are the ways which we could utilize unused office building space better? You can let us know via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter, we are running a poll, of course, or you can get us over on Instagram, that's at BFM Radio 2. Short break with some music. We've got Duran Jones and The Indications up next. When we do come back, though, we managed to speak with an architect, Jeffrey Merican, about some of these questions that we've got and get their opinion on what we wanted to know. Okay, music, take it away. BFM 89.9.
Brave, free, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. If you're only just joining us, hello. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Raj
and Christine Wong.
With you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. The question we are asking you today is, what are the ways we could utilize unused office building space better? We're running a poll on Twitter. The options are housing, children or elderly care, medical, others, including all of the above. And the results so far are
49% for others or all of the above, 7.8% for medical, 20.3% for child or elderly care, and 22.9% for housing.
Whilst you're on Twitter, let's have a look at some of the tweets that have come in.
Yeah, and there's a lot of tweets. This comes from Shamil, who says indoor planting. Sweetchuan says, if all office enforce distancing, we should be using all the space already. Childcare is definitely a good idea, bringing mom back to the job market and creating jobs for caretakers.
Agreed.
Maisaius says, such places can be turned into cafeterias or some mini marts, which allows for office workers to do grocery shopping, etc. And then there's one from Ng who says urban farming too.
I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, on a similar note, we've got a response here on Instagram from Damasta2K, indoor vegetation for staff consumption. We've also got Gwen O saying kids daycare as well.
All right. Also over on WhatsApp, I've got one here that says it's from Tsai Yao Yang, who says, not sure how feasible this is, but maybe put some trees back into urban spaces. Maybe put a lot of trees back into the urban spaces. Repeating yourself there. And I'm repeating myself now because I read what he said. Now, Maggie Best, of course. Hello, Maggie. My suggestion would be all of the above. Also, if by chance the housing development authorities are listening in, we'd like to remind them it's about time they look into policies, acts, etc., to make housing and property development more meaningful to the rakyat. Also, wondering whether they are working hand in hand with the town planning people to ensure we don't get checkered chaotic development.
Nice.
Well said.
Hmm.
I think we all kind of agree with all of those sentiments, right?
Yeah.
There. Now, of course, we did manage to get some time with an architect earlier on, and it was with Jeffrey Merican to hear his thoughts on repurposing unused office spaces. Jeffrey, do offices have to be rezoned if they're going to be used for residential or non-office purposes?
The procedure is not exactly as what you describe as rezoning of the office. The intention is to change the usage from office or commercial to residential. So allow me to explain the implications of such changes of building use under prevailing laws. According to Section 52 of the National Land Code 1965, land in Malaysia is divided into one of three categories. So first is agriculture, building, secondly, third is industry. Now, residential and commercial buildings are both built on building land under Section 116 of the National Land Code. Any changes in usage, therefore, does not affect the land title. As such, depending on requirements of the local approving authorities, obtaining approval for change from either residential to commercial or commercial to residential, vice versa, are feasibly achievable in Malaysia, provided relevant laws are complied with. Firstly, application will have to be submitted to local approving authorities for resubmission of planning permission for change of materiality of the building. This is a terminology under the Town and Country Planning Act, Act 172. Secondly, upon obtaining approval for planning permission, application for approval of building plans will have to be made. Supporting letters of approval from relevant authorities like Bomba and a few others will have to also to be obtained to prove that the proposal complies with standards and requirements under relevant laws in Malaysia, such as the Street Drainage and Building Act and the Uniform Building Bylaws.
What is the cost factor in repurposing this kind of space?
Many shop offices and medium-sized office buildings have been repurposed successfully. Office towers, in my opinion, may not be suitable because of the heavy investments in mechanical and electrical installation, which may make the daily running cost too high for residential use. For interior works in office, the materials and design intent are for temporary use and usually easily removable. So the interior for an average 1,000 square feet shop office floor is usually less than 100,000 ringgit. In comparison, the cost of converting materials and mechanical or electrical system from office to residential unit is significantly high because of the more permanent type of construction. For a typical shop office of the same size to be converted to something like the budget OYO hotel, investments could be as high as ringgit 200,000 to 300,000. Among the cost factors, examples I can give are, well, firstly, bathrooms for residential units are larger compared to offices because of the shower cubicles and other residential bathing needs. Secondly, interior partitions need to be of more solid materials, soundproof for privacy and comfort, and the rooms will have to be of fire-rated requirements to prevent fire from one room spreading to another quickly. Then thirdly, floor finishes for residential will have to be durable using tiles instead of wall-to-wall carpeting. Well, these are the factors that contribute to the renovation cost being anywhere from 30% to 50% of the purchase price of the office property.
Interesting. So how might developers benefit from some of these changes?
Developers usually carry out marketing campaigns for residential properties much more aggressively for residential compared to commercial offices. And there are more purchases for residential properties market compared to commercial buyers. Although there are substantial additional costs for conversion, it's still beneficial for unsold shop offices to be converted to make them saleable.
So finally then, what would be your ideal solution to unused office space?
I think the problem with unused office spaces have more to do with the economic potential of the area in question rather than the building type itself. In good commercial areas, shop offices are occupied with numerous businesses, restaurants, professional offices, budget hotels and the like. For offices in areas lacking in commercial potential, I think conversion to residential and homestay style accommodation should be useful. Also, I think that assisted living and retirement homes could do well. I would advise that food outlets should be encouraged at the ground level for self-sufficiency of the converted development.
Thank you very much, Geoffrey. And you can hear more from Geoffrey in the Property Show tomorrow morning at 9:30 a.m. And I think that the assisted living and things for the elderly is something that I think we all feel very strongly about here. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's a lack of space for those people. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you do have extra space, why are we just not using it?
I think also because, office buildings have like elevators and stuff, and it makes it a bit more accessible. Mm. When some residential buildings may not even have those that equipment available as well. Mm-hmm. So that would be really useful.
Okay, of course, we do have a poll running over on Twitter. The question is, again, what are the ways we could utilize unused office space building? I'll start again. What are the ways we could utilize unused office building space better? Let us know. The options are housing, child or elderly care, medical, or all of the above. Do let us know. Get us over on Instagram as well if you want to post there. And, of course, over on WhatsApp, the number is 018-789-8899. Music up next from James with Sit Down here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.